Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the NCWCC Digital Online Broadcast Network. Today is May 19th, you guys, 2012. We are just embarking upon a lot of things that are taking place throughout in Washington. We're talking about the formidable opportunity that everybody has to get behind the United States Women's Chamber of Commerce, and this show is very important for anyone that that has a sense of understanding that women have not had their fair choices and opportunities in the federal market. We've been talking with individuals across the country in regards to some of the challenges that have taken place for their companies. And I'm your host, Kareem Ali, as we are airing live here from out of Georgia. And I am so proud to have the CEO and founder of the NCWCC Digital Online Radio Network with us this afternoon. And as we talk about some of the different definitions as we define the U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce as the independent force behind an economic revolution in America. Using this platform of influence and innovation and opportunity, the United States Women's Chamber has worked with several individuals, members, to grow their businesses and careers and have gained recognition as the most influential, influence, effective economic force in America. As anybody may know, that the United States Women's Chamber for more than a decade had been leading the independent voice for women-owned businesses on federal contracts. And they made that come into fruition back in 2011, right after Women's Month, and that was a proud conquest. But they are now leading the charge and have drawn the line in the sand. There has been a controversy in delivering the promise that the administration made to women. And in supporting this situation, women in business who are working, trying to work with the federal government, there's been an astonishing amount of delay and opportunity for women in general to be able to achieve economic independence on projects. One of the things that I wanted to basically talk about is that the United States Women's Chamber, outside of anyone else, has done more for women of color than any other organization. Mrs. Freeman, I want to welcome you to the call as well, and also want to welcome your vice president, Mr. Noah Bourne. Guys, welcome to the call. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Ms. Bourne, are you there? Okay. She'll chime in a minute. Ms. Freeman, you had an opportunity and a pleasure to meet Margot Dorfman when she came down to Columbus. And in your opinion, as the United States Women's Chamber, talk to me about the character in which you met with Margot and her passion to secure opportunities and information for that the people in that region down there in which you are part of. And I also want to say congratulations for moving the administrative offices down there in Fort Benning, right outside on Fort Benning Road. So congratulations for that too.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this thing with the United States Women's Chamber. You had an opportunity to meet Margot a couple of years ago. She conceded to come and do a Georgia summit with you. And the information that she gave, I mean, and I'm just kind of leading into this, was overwhelming to know that there's about $55 billion worth of contracts in that region. And I know you've been passionate about being able to get information out to women, businesses and all, but as you know, that it's been a challenge to obtain contracts on federal projects. So, you know, you had an opportunity to kind of see where they stand at. Tell us a little about what you feel that was happening in this economy in terms of women being able to break through decades of discrimination to access federal contracts. What's your opinion about that, and how devastating is that to our economy?
Well, you know, women in general, we have been eliminated from bidding on certain jobs, or they don't give us the opportunity to actually bid on those jobs. So I'm thinking that if we were given the opportunity, we can perform as well or better than some of the men that they have on these different jobs. And like in Fort Benning, it seems like they're targeting women from getting those jobs out there. I don't know, it has to do with the management out there or what.
Well, I think it's a combination. I think it's a combination of
of the individuals who have been in charge for a moment. Let me read something to you. This is what's happening with the U.S. Women's Chamber. Margot and the United States Women's Chamber of Commerce has done something incredible twice already in the last 2 years. One, they opened up the WSB certification for women, and for this year, her next campaign has been a breakthrough campaign to end, and now listen to this, Freeman, a $90 billion discrimination against women-owned firms. That's working together with all the Infinity corporations and organizations that we will finally bring an end, and this is coming from their site, the www.uswcc.org, to 15 years, and I know it's been more than 15 years because you've been around for over 20-some-odd years. 15 years and $90 billion worth of discrimination against women-owned federal contractors. She says, now it's time to step up and support this important campaign. And this is on the NCWCC new website that you guys can go to. And together we're ending this decade of discriminatory practices. And those practices is just what you just said a moment ago. Is it the management at Fort Benning? I think so. I think we've had the same conversation for 2 years. And I believe we just had, we had a meeting again out there at Fort Benning. Exactly trying to find out, are you trying to just meet a minimum goal? And one of the things
I think they're just trying to meet the minimum goal. They actually seems like they're just trying to meet the minimum goal. They're not actually looking for others to fill those positions or to get those contracts.
Karina, what is the minimum goal? That's the major question you should be asking. The minimum goal could be anything that they want to put on paper, but what is the minimum goal? What is the magic number?
The magic
number.
Yeah,
what
number
is the guideline for the magic number?
It was 5% that was in Congress in 1994, which is an incredibly low goal for contracting with women-owned firms. We're talking about since 1994. Year after year, the federal government has failed to meet or beat the 5% goal for federal contracting for small business overall. So that's the goal. That's a colossal opportunity loss, negative impact for women businesses. When all along we make up that failure to do that accounts to be $89,988,909 and a penny in loss in revenue with the 5% minimum not being met. So that answers your question.
Yeah, so that's really not a lot of money. That's really not a lot of money.
No, it's not. I mean, it's a financial discrimination against women. And one of the things that we want to do, and one of the things that Margot Dorfman said on her website, it was uswcc.org breakthrough. She states that we have financial discrimination against women, and that we no longer need to make those politicians who proclaim their love for women without paying the money due to us, put up a shut up. One of the things I want to ask you guys, and being in construction all these years, what are the things that I saw was that, which is real interesting because we go through this every day. If you can't, you have to change the rules for the game, because the game, as you said, Ms. Bowens, you have to change the rules because the rules that have been in place aren't working, right?
That is correct.
So how do you change the rules? What do you do differently? How do you pull yourself through that? How do you change the rules as a woman of color, as an African American woman in construction, and not just in construction but in engineering? How do you change the rules? What would you add in changing the rules? What would you do differently?
Bring everything to the light. Let people know exactly what's going on. This is a good example of what you're doing to change the rules. you're bringing to the light that women are being discriminated against by this radio station.
That's important.
Put the information out where we could reach and where we could find information if we've been discriminated on who to contact. Knowledge. Information is knowledge, and therefore it's power.
I think that's very important. The part that I really, really, truly love is what you just said, is that if you and this is what I'm going to put out to everybody. On the new NCWCC.org website, the one thing that we learned from NOW, which is the National Opportunity for Women, who've been around since 1966, they stated that because the media plays a central role in informing the public about political, legal, health, and other matters, they have the power to affect each and every issue that women of color care about. And I changed that to women of color because it said women businesses. But, for instance, we cannot advocate effectively, like you say, for equal pay. We can't advocate effectively when discrimination practices have been taking place. And my favorite, when hostile environments have been taking place. If the media ignores these issues or presents them from a limited viewpoint that favors the status quo. And as you just said, Ms. Vaughn, put the information out. I think that's one thing you taught me long ago when we were journeymen, or I was an apprentice and you were a journeyman, was to document everything. Document, 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 and write, 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 and send that information out to everybody. That's one of your rules right there.
That is correct. That is correct. Document, document, document. Send it out to reach the right person. CC everybody. Anybody you have a contact with, CC. Someone knows somebody might be able to reach out and help. Or say, this is not fair. Let's try to change this. Let's try to address this issue.
If you don't address the issue, then it never existed.
That is correct.
And I know that we've experienced all sorts of forms of discriminatory practices, but it really has never fazed us because I just think it's just a part of the landscape. But as an executive in the coalition, what would outside of documenting, bringing the roles and bringing people visible to the light? Because you know it's also one thing that I do know is that you have to have a network of people. We have to have a support base. When we get together, we talk about a strategy on what we're going to do next. Is that important to letting other women know who's going to listen to this show? The strategy is talk amongst each other, not network, but pull in your closest people and come up with a strategy to be effective.
That is correct.
One thing I wanted to add, when we state we are women of color, that means all colors of women, not just black, white, red, everyone, all women.
And in the years of being in this construction arena, we want to share with you that the people that I have online right now that's listening. These women are professional women who both have multiple degrees in business and in engineering. Now, I know you guys are very humble because y'all are Capricorn, but just, Ms. Freeman, and I know you don't like talking about this, but where is your degree from and what is it in?
I have an associate degree in business management from Ivy Tech College in Gary, Indiana. I also have a bachelor's degree from Concordia University, Chicago, from Chicago, Illinois.
And you kind of graduated what?
Summa cum laude.
Oh, okay. And you are a member of what fraternity? What sorority?
Phi Theta Kappa International Honor Society.
Oh, so I call you. So you're a smart kid too. At the same time in college.
No, not fraternity. It's a smart kid.
He retired from the United States Post Office as a supervisor. So you understand protocol, procedure, and working in a federal environment under the laws of the United States Post Office as well, right?
Correct.
That, and that was in the main, that was in the main post office in Chicago, for Barack Obama's town.
Slash Chicago Loop.
Okay, all right. And Ms. Barnes, yours is, I call you the test taker. Anybody want a test take for any subject, y'all need to look up Janora here, because Ms. Barnes can study something and take, I think you're about to graduate with your robotics engineering degree.
What is that all about?
I got your resume, so I can easily pull it up, and it's online, you guys. There's a bio online that you can go to NCWCC that I pulled together, so folks can know that the coalition is made of professional women who have also. And Ms. Freeman can pour concrete. She can pour concrete. She can hang drywall. I don't know if she can do roofing. But at 65,
no,
this
woman
is
roofing.
She put Janora on the roof. So, but I want everybody to realize that in this conversation, this is a wonderful opportunity to just kind of say, you know, who we are and the level of expertise that's there. If you guys go to the ncwcc.org/who we are page, you will be able to understand the complexity of what Ms. Barnes is. Engineering genres. Okay, so you go ahead and tell everybody, like all them degrees you got. That's crazy, right?
Okay, I got a certificate in quantity from Milwaukee School of Engineer, the number top two college in the state of Wisconsin, and the top 28 engineer school in the nation. Graduate with honors. Also, I have a, air conditioning, heating, air conditioning, ventilation degree, associate degree in heating and ventilation heating from Milwaukee School Area Technical School, and that would be MATC, the top technical school in Wisconsin. Also, I have a associate degree from National American University in Minnesota in business. I have a bachelor's degree in science from National American University in Minnesota. And last of all, I'm graduating with my engineering degree from Dunwoody Technical College in Minnesota with industrial controls and robotics.
I'm graduating with 0.5 grade point average,
and I followed my mom. I'm part of the honor roll, and I'm graduating with honors, and I'm part of the Phi Beta Kappa.
Wow. And it also says that you're a member of the American Society of Power Engineers.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
National Institute of Uniform License of the Power Engineers with fifth class power engineer, boilers, firemen, low pressure license. And then our favorite, my most favorite
engineer license. I'm with Borders, which is the state of Wisconsin. Also, I have a second class Borders license, engineer license in the state of Minnesota.
Oh. And my favorite is that you're a journey level cement mason, plasters and cement masons union person of Local 502 in Bellwood, Illinois, as well as you remember when I had you go down to Tennessee, and you also have your HVAC. You passed HVAC test for the. Refrigeration Contractors Tennessee State Licensing Board.
That is correct.
So As I say to people, I think it's just to be very clear about the two powers who are at the top. It is quite important. Ms. Freeman has always taught us to go to school and continue to remain knowledgeable in every aspect of what we're doing. There's no need to take anything and do anything different. I wanted to thank you guys for just sharing, because, you know, I know you guys don't like telling your business. And that's why I always tell people all the time, you know, as being the middle child and the baby of the bunch, I'm the dumbest. Now, you guys can really believe that. Just imagine the little knowledge that I have is, you know, and like I said, you guys can look at this online. We have revamped the site to kind of fit what we're doing. We are very, very excited about being able to let people know, and young people know, that it's so important, Ms. Freeman, as you've always taught us, is that that you can do anything. All you have to do is, it's someplace that you can read and study it, and your goal for us is to continue to be educated and re-educate. I think a experience took place for you back in the was it Wisconsin, or was it in Wisconsin when we were doing some DOT work, and they told you that we didn't have enough experience, and your passion was to do what from then on?
Not allow anyone to say I didn't have enough experience or enough education.
So that is the passion. The passion is education and experience.
Correct.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit, one last thing before I get you guys off, and I really appreciate you. I'm going to read something to you that's taking place with the United States Women's Chamber. I want everybody to just kind of take a moment and go into this for a second. How to end discrimination against women in businesses. Now, there is a clear path of action for our political leaders to act upon the end of the decades of discrimination. Now, President Obama needs to issue an executive order, lead the federal government through an executive order that does not require congressional action. He can do this. And this is coming from the United States Women's Chamber page. She is stating, the United States Women's Chamber is a 500,000 member with a direct contact of 5 million women across the country. She is, the United States Women's Chamber is stepping up to lead the charge to finally put an end to the financial discrimination. No longer will we stand by and let politicians be excused. We know that the political shell game will end here and now. And I know we're not supposed to name names, but the
construction company. No, we're not. We're not going to name names today. Thank you.
I understand that the construction company itself has experienced some forms of discriminatory practice in a hostile environment. So we'll be sending a lot of information out on the internet. But we ourselves, you know, with all this experience, somebody has the nerve to come at us. I just find it to be interesting because I'm a journeyman concrete finisher and I'm an estimator and a successful estimator. But I will say this much: there is a time right now, as we are entering months into the election, the course of action for the United States Women's Chamber is to create an executive order that does not require a congressional action. They proclaim that the federal government will end the shortfall in federal contracting with women-owned small businesses this year, which is 2012. And the direct thing is every federal contracting officer in the U.S. to successfully complete a web-based training session on the use and effective implementation of women's small business and contract programs. Remember we were at Fort Benning, and Ms. Freeman, the gentleman, told us that he had already did some training and awareness for WOSB and EDSB, and is that sufficient training or a mandate? What's important, a training session or a mandate?
Mandate is more important. I would say mandate.
Okay. What do you think, Ms. Barnes? Let's see if she's still here.
I believe mandate. And the reason I believe in mandate, that means that if you hold a position, you must take these training courses. It's not an option.
So you're ordinarily going to, you definitely take the training courses anyway.
That's
correct.
The government
requires you to have them. Now, mandate, that means you have to perform the duties and to make sure, to ensure that all the contracts is awarded according to what the mandate is.
Well, I can say this much. The training, I think the person that's at the top that is making the decision, especially for Benning, has not done a good job in securing opportunities for women. And I think they're just doing a bare minimum. And I think it's time to, I think it's very, very much time to stop the game playing. As we move a little bit further into the show, I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the NCWCC Digital Online. You guys, I'm going to take a moment break, bringing back Candlelight. Yeah, sit back for a second. Thank you. Welcome back to the NCWCC Digital Online Broadcast Network. I can tell you this much. I want to thank and welcome the two most important people into the NCWCC, Mrs. Freeman, who has dropped off the line. I want to thank Ms. Bowen, Schnorr Bowens, for participating in this show. Now that Mommy's off the phone, I'm going to name names. You can go tell that to everybody. She's a really refined Southern woman, and I grew up north, and so I really don't care. So you got to name names. You ladies, I mean, it is very important to name names. You'll be seeing a very new direct opportunity for quite a bit of people in this USWCC.org breakthrough. You know, Janora, I'm going to ask you a question. You said change the rule, change the game. Let's talk about, are you still there with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let's talk about when the prime contractor changes the rule only for you as a woman-owned company and don't change it for the rest of the subcontractors. Let's talk about the fact that one of the companies that we've been talking with and has been approved to be on a project has asked us to bond the project when that was not the upfront documentation, nor was it a part of the information in which we were supposed to provide for them to receive their contract. And this is how the practices are taking place. The games that are being played is let's get them on the project, put their names on it, and then find a way to kick them off. You said to me, you said go to the owner, right? This is a practice in which we need to do to change the game. Have the owner force each one of the subs on that project to bond the project. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the owner would be, guess who? It's taxpayer money. It's our money.
So it's public money.
It's federal money.
It's public money. So we got public money being emphasized to do something to actually discriminate against our own selves. We basically are taking a gun and shooting ourselves in the head, right?
No, it's like falling on the railroad track when the train is coming.
Okay.
And don't get up.
So basically, in a nutshell, we're just laying on the track, waiting for the train to come, and then we're supposed to just get plowed over. That's what they want. Right. Okay. I think that's really ridiculous. So if we're reporting information, so we actually you're saying take that information and ask the owner of the owner, which is the municipality, which is the government or federal government entity, to make sure that the playing field is level. So if I have to bond a particular dollar amount, every contractor on that contract must bond in order for them to be on that project too. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. If I have to bond, everyone should bond just along with me to keep an equal playing field. If not, there's a form of singling me out, and that's a form of discrimination. And the law says that you cannot discriminate against people for using federal funds.
Wow.
And
I don't think they read the
words. In hindsight, that's what it says.
I don't believe they read the law. Let me say this much. This is what's been taking place. Let's say this. And this is really funny. There is a law which is called the H.R. 4203, the Women's Procurement Program Improvement Act of 2012. The Women's Procurement Program Act of 2012, which provides much-needed refinement of restricted competition program that will make more impact on projects. Now, let's just say this much. With you being a part of both sides of the fence, you've been able to hire people in terms of tradespeople, and you've been able to effectively talk and raise the bar for other individuals in terms of their thinking that, you know, this is public money and they can do what they want to with it. It is that public money means that women, if we make up 51 or 60% of the makeup of the United States, then why are we made to do jump, lay on the railroad track? why we not take our own money, lay it on the track next to us, and let the train hit us? What are we talking about here? We're talking about us being more knowledgeable, more educated. What do we need to do?
No, this is what we should do. What we're doing right now is getting the word out, and therefore with pressure on there and bringing everything to the light, things do change.
Well, I'm going to share something with you guys. If you go to the uswcc.org/breakthrough.aspx, and you can go to our link as well on our website, there is a Get Started portion of this. Women business owners and supporters, exactly what Janora is talking about. the United States Women's Chamber and the National Coalition of Women of Color Construction, we are partnering on two projects already, have urged to come together to end the decades of discrimination and the billions of dollars worth of loss for opportunity for women and our community. Now it's time to raise our voices, hold Washington accountable, and declare that this discrimination ends today, either through action in Washington or our vote comes in November. And that is on this particular page. So when you go to this page, you guys, it's a Get Started page. And you can go to our website or the uswcc.org breakthrough, and you can email President Obama directly through this. We have already put our letter in describing the project that we're talking about. And we're also making sure that everybody knows that it is time for the presidential leadership to step up and end discrimination against women-owned businesses. And then you can email Congress and tell them, and this letter is already scripted, but you can edit the letter. You can. I encourage that you put down the name of the project, the name of the contractor, the name of the contracting officer, and whatever municipality, be it local government or federal government, and document this so investigations can be lodged right now. We cannot afford to wait until this man is reelected. He must make his promises good to women, all women, African-American descent, Native American descent, and white women. Now, I'm not saying that they're growing any better than us, but what I can tell you is there are other people who are benefiting. And if you go to the report that a lot of the CEOs of companies are male, and it is listed on the website again, and the United States Women's Chamber used CCR to identify companies who are headed by white males or black males or males in general that are listed as women-owned companies, where the wives of the company, y'all, are becoming the front person, and then the males are getting the contract, and women are being discriminated against. Now, the company that I'm talking about is Scott & Sons LLC Holdings, Scott & Sons Holdings LLC. That is it's amazing to me. They're Hub Zone, they're 8A, they're Service Disabled Vet. And on top of that, they're certified with the City of Atlanta and Fulton County. And they were supposed to be listed as a HUD contractor as a licensed GC. These guys literally listed a black woman company as a utility contractor and contracted the work out to a company that has nothing but Hispanics on it. I have nothing against Hispanics, but nobody even checked whether or not they were legal or not, and they've been on this project. And we notified the company, IBG, that this was taking place, and no one has gotten back with us. It is time right now. I have sent this email to Margot. I have sent this to the United States Senate. I'm sending this to the governor's office. I'm sending it to the license board, and unfortunately, if I have to go mainstream, I will. There is no time, according to myself and according to the United States Women's Chamber, that we must tell them to pass H.R. 4203 and the legislation to raise the goals for contracting for women-owned firms and small business and bring greater transparency to federal and government contracting reporting. And just because the Office of Contracting Compliance are held by those jobs are held by women, and women of color, if you go to them. But guess what? They have no power and no paralysis. They have no backbone. They have a job. This needs to be an outside entity for transparency. Now, that is my opinion, because I do understand that this role has to be taken seriously. Janora, I really appreciate you coming on to the show. We only got a few minutes left. You got any past comments? I know I'm going to be in trouble for dropping Scott & Sons' name, Kushka Scott, and people need to investigate. We had a call from someone, and I'm hoping that investigation takes place. I think that when people who have bad behavior, they need, and they're using public dollars, They need to be accountable. And the entities that the powers to be must make them accountable. If you are charged with public dollars and public safety, then you should be accountable and knowledgeable to know certain things that you don't do. Now, Janora, I really appreciate you tuning in. You got any closing comments?
No, Karima. Have a good day, Karima.
Ah, yeah, I know. I'm in trouble, but that's okay. You guys, I'll be back with the show. I want to thank Ms. Janora Bourne. You guys can email her at janora@cecicservices.com. It's been a blessing to be able to have my family on the show and to be able to continue to do what we've been doing for the last 20-plus years. I'm going to take a little commercial break for just a second.